Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for some big trades in the NBA, Keith?
You know, I didn't think that I was, but I am now. It took my breath away, Jones, when I saw the Sunday morning. I woke up to the news, and holy mackerel, I didn't see it live. I was one of the many sleepyheads. I enjoyed a nice Royal Rumble. I had a nice little Saturday night. I'm like, this is great. This is going to be the top of the sports weekend, I would assume. And then you wake up Sunday morning, and you're like scrolling through. You're like, wait a minute, what?
No, you had
because there's so much fake crap on Twitter that like, that's not.
You that had a tweet yesterday that was like, Jey Uso, am I saying that right?
Yeah, Jey Uso.
Was the biggest story in sports for like 9 hours.
One hour. They gave him like an hour. I think he won the Rumble at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And then like after midnight, boom, biggest trade in the history of the NBA.
I woke up to the push notification from Shams and I still didn't really believe it.
You're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, Shams got hacked.
So, no, I mean, a lot of people assume that. It was that out of left field. We all expected Jimmy Butler to get traded. He still hasn't been. I think we all knew De'Aaron Fox was getting traded.
Zach LaVine got held out in the so he thought he was going to get traded.
Luka
did not see this
for
coming.
Anthony Davis, which is the main particulars of that three-way deal. You now have Luka in L.A. You now have Anthony Davis in Dallas with Kyrie. We'll get to your thoughts on it all day long here on Jones and Keith. 617-779-7937, your phone number and your text line. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keith. Watch along twitch.tv/BostonWEEI and chat there. Always a nice healthy conversation on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you can watch on YouTube by subscribing to WEEI. Your thoughts on the trade, Keith, beyond just the shock value of it, which was significant. Why'd they do it? Why now? Greg made a good point about that. Like, what's the rush?
Yeah.
Did the Mavericks do enough due diligence on the trade? Who got the better of it? We'll get to all of it all day long. Where do you want to start?
So I think if you're looking long term, it's one of the worst trades ever. I think Luka Doncic at 25, one of the best players in the NBA, just took a team with Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford to the NBA Finals. He's one of the best offensive players I think the league has ever seen. And everyone's like, hey, doesn't play defense. Like, okay, he's still one of the five best players in the league every year he's been in the league, essentially. Certainly the last 5 years, he's been a consistent roll out of the bed, first team All NBA. You know, eventually he's going to be an MVP. If you're talking about, the most untradeable players for a franchise, he's on that short list. It's probably like Victor Wembanyama, him, Jokic,
SGA
maybe Tatum.
I was gonna say,
yeah, Tatum. I'd put Tatum up there, but like he's one of those guys. Like he is insanely talented, and he's so young, and he seemed to be committed to Dallas. This isn't one of those guys like, well, we might need to get rid of him because he's not going to sign the Supermax here. No, he would sign the Supermax in Dallas. So to trade him for a 31-year-old who plays like a 41-year-old Anthony Davis, who's hurt all the time, is good when he's out there. He's a little bit Porzingis-like, where when he's out there, very good. Can't always rely on him being out there. And they got one first-round pick in return, too. So somebody had a great tweet. They're like, a 34-year-old Kevin Durant essentially got the Suns like 8 first-round picks, or the Nets like 8 first-round picks. And you got one for Luka Doncic? So
The Lakers had another, because they are one of these teams that, the way the league works, you can't trade first-round picks in consecutive years.
Yep.
They did have another first-round pick available to trade, and they did not use it, which has people wondering whether or not they're up to something else. But
no,
regardless, Dallas should have held out for at least another pick. I'm with you on that.
It's insane. And to trade a guy like this and nobody in the league knows that you're trading him, you absolutely could have gotten more. This is so dumb that I understand why there's all kinds of like Keefspiracies tossed around out there, because no general manager in the NBA would trade that guy for that return. First of all, I don't know how many would trade him, period. But if you want to get into, like, oh, he's fat now and he's not good. All right, so you say
he's not fat now. We were all saying it in the NBA Finals. He was fat then, yeah.
So let's say you made up your mind that you can't
dribble, 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 fat.
That was a different MVP they were talking about. But so let's say you somehow come to the idea that you can't win with him, like at the highest level. That's what your decision is, which I don't agree with, but let's say that's what it is. You don't trade him in the middle of the night for Anthony Davis and one first-round pick. That alone is a fireable offense. Before either player plays for their new team, the Dallas GM should be fired.
See, I'm not as down on Anthony Davis as you are. Long-term, you make a good point. Doncic is 25, Davis is 31. Like, long-term, that doesn't work. Short-term, basketball-wise, Kyrie and Davis fit. It doesn't mean it's going to work. Kyrie can tank anything. Davis could get hurt. Davis could fall off a cliff. But I don't know. I mean, Anthony Davis still a top 10 player. You agree with that or no?
Davis-ish.
You
borderline.
Know, you have him like 11 or 12. Fine.
Yeah,
whatever.
Top 15.
He is, I mean.
Where do you put Luka?
Luka's top five.
Yeah, okay.
Luka's probably 3 or 4 off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Right?
You
know, even with all the weight concerns and everything else, Tatum or Luka to me is a real debate. I think Tatum's a little cleaner, but I think Luka has a higher ceiling. So it kind of depends on what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But they're right in the same stratosphere for me. So I respect Luka's talent, his skill level, but are you ever going to maximize what he does? And he is a liability defensively. Now, he's gotten a team to an NBA Finals. He's gone to a conference final with Jalen Brunson, which is a much better player in retrospect, but that was kind of the next best player on the team. He got to a Western Conference final.
Yeah.
Like, he's done quite a bit of winning, not championships, but quite a bit of winning and advancing. So I don't want to say his style doesn't work, but I have questions about the way he plays. But his skill level is undeniable.
Somebody had a great tweet. They said the Dallas Mavericks have turned Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic, and Kristaps Porzingis into Anthony Davis, Spencer Dinwiddie, and like Max Christie or whatever. Like, they legit had those three guys. Couldn't make it work.
But if you're trying to win this year, can you make a case for Davis and Kyrie, who have wanted to play together going back to when Kyrie was in Boston?
Yeah.
Can you make a case that it works and that team can go on a run in the West?
So this had me all confused. My mind was legit in a pretzel Sunday morning, because I think long term it's a no brainer. What a bad trade. Short term, I had this thought: are both teams better? Are both teams worse? Like, I couldn't really figure it out. I think for this season, just the rest of this season, I think both teams might be better. And then I think long-term,
I think Dallas is better for this year. You know, again, a couple of years from now, we can see how Anthony Davis ages. I have questions about how Luka and LeBron fit, well, long-term and short-term.
I think they're going to fit pretty well.
They might.
I think that Luka's the best player LeBron's ever played with.
Maybe. But yeah, it's two guys who got to figure out how to share a basketball. LeBron's done that before with Dwayne Wade. He's also struggled with that at various points in his career. So,
but Luka's also done it with Kyrie. Luka and LeBron's a better fit than Luka and Kyrie, and they made the NBA Finals.
Right.
Kyrie Irving here helped submarine and throw everybody off, you know, their path to success. He goes down to Dallas, which I thought was going to be a dumb combo, and those guys made it work.
I would look at it another way. I think Kyrie, even as crazy as his ego is these days, I think he still understands at this point in his career, Luka's the more talented player, so he did subjugate to a degree. He's still a wacko.
He did.
Does LeBron understand that? And so I wonder if there's more of a tug of war on whose team it was. Kyrie came to the Mavericks. Luka was already there. I wonder if there's more of a tug of war. So look, if they make it fit, you're right.
I think they're both great passers.
They have more talent than Dallas.
Yeah. I think LeBron's used to being a little bit more unselfish than Kyrie is. Like, Kyrie, it's funny because Kyrie's known more as he's the point guard. But he's less of a true playmaker. He's a great scorer, Kyrie is, and he's a good shooter and you know, best ball handler maybe ever. But I don't know if he's as much of a passer playmaker as both LeBron and Luka can be. So I'm interested in that. I think they probably need to make more moves, because it is funny, you know, that Anthony Davis is like, we need a center so I can play power forward. They're like, all right, dude, we're just going to get rid of you altogether. So, like, right now the Lakers are pretty small, but they're insanely talented. They have two of the 10 best players in the world right now, and just, like, their offense is going to look a lot better. I do agree, Kyrie and Anthony Davis could work.
Basketball-wise.
Yeah.
It's a big and a ball handler. It's two guys who want to play together.
Kyrie, Harden,
Davis,
and Durant, I thought, might work.
No, 100%. You know, like, I'm not saying it will work. I'm just saying I understand, from a basketball standpoint, the fit. LeBron and Luka might work. That's a clunkier fit. Two ball-dominant players. There's some overlap in how they play. So I don't think it's as clean of a fit, right, but they're more talented players.
Is either team now the best team in the West?
No.
Which team is a tougher out for Oklahoma City right now?
I'm leaning Dallas in that one, in all honesty. I might be in the minority on that.
Yeah.
But no, I'm leaning Dallas.
No, I don't think it's quite as laughable. Like, just the roster swap, right? You switch those two guys. Because Davis, you know, is having a good year. Like, this is one of Anthony Davis's good years. I always just am nervous, you know, how long is it going to last? Like, when is he going to, you know, land awkwardly and be out or whatever? But just him and Kyrie is a good combo. But, like, what a short-sighted, stupid trade. Like, should have gotten so much more.
It is short-sighted. If they don't win, and I'm not predicting them to win, if they don't win in the next 2 or 3 years, then it's a fail. It's like, a massive fail.
Think about some of these
deals. It's not Mookie Betts level. I've heard some Mookie Betts comps for this trade and seen them on social media. Anthony Davis is so much better than Verdugo and the other pieces the Red Sox got back. It's not funny.
So the one thing...
But it is short-sighted playing a franchise... Trading, a franchise player like the Red Sox traded Mookie over money.
It's similar in that regard. I do think that, the return is better, but...
The Red Sox wish they got an Anthony Davis out of
that trade. Don't think there was a guarantee that Mookie Betts was going to sign the deal the Red Sox offered him. I like to think so. I like to hope so. And you don't know until you actually offer it. By all accounts, Luka Doncic was, like, good with Dallas, like, wanted to play his whole career with Dallas. He would have signed. This was a guy with, like, 1 foot out the door.
He could make the most money in Dallas, too.
Yeah.
So he was going to sign maybe a year or two into the deal. He forces his way out, but he was going to sign.
But, like, so you legitimately could have had him the rest of the time. There was a little bit more unknown with Mookie, so you were trading him with just 1 year left on the deal, and then that team was going to have to figure out a contract. But, yeah, I mean, they're kind of similar in that regard. I mean, Mookie had been a league MVP and, you know, a World Series winner, so Luka hasn't been either of those, but he did take a 5 seed to the NBA Finals, and he's still so young. Like, the guy came into the league young, and then so it seems like he's been around for a while, but he's 25 years old.
And he is a killer. Like, at the end of some of these games.
Oh my God. Remember some of those games against the Celtics a few years ago?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Not the finals so much last year.
No. Regular season games in the last 4 years against the Celtics.
I mean, even him last year against the T-Wolves in the Western Conference Final. Like, the guy is a killer. And so he has a flair for the dramatic and coming up in a big moment. Like, I'm not denying the Luka talent. I would question his dedication. And I think the Mavericks are questioning his dedication to the game.
Good point by somebody on the text line. So Luka obviously not in the lineup for the Dallas Mavericks last night against Cleveland. So luckily
they got crushed.
They got that defensive albatross out of the game. They gave up 91 points in the first half and 144 in the game.
Nobody played, FYI, in that game. I don't know that that's
talking
fair.
About Spencer Dinwiddie, who they got one
barometer.
Of their deals.
Yeah, no.
They got, Dante Exum. The corpse of Klay Thompson?
I don't think either of their bigs played. I don't think Kyrie played. I mean, no one played in that game. But it was a poor defensive performance, I will acknowledge that.
They gave up 91.5. And they're like, we got rid of Luka. We can now walk down on D. Like, no, I don't think that's your game.
The Alice Mavericks?
There's no D.
No D.
See what I did there?
I do get that. Classic. So do you, I think you do, based on something you said earlier. There's a lot of conspiracies that open this up. If you don't understand on the surface why Dallas would do it. And it's fair to say, why'd they do it now? Did they get enough?
No.
That's all fair. Do you buy into it's a league-orchestrated move to generate ratings and get a superstar to L.A. to save the league?
Kinda.
Okay. It's that bad for you.
Yeah, no, I think it's so insanely bad that somebody could ascend to that level where they are the general manager of one of the 30 teams in the league and they make that move. Not that Twitter's always a great indication, but there wasn't a single person out there that was like, great move long-term by Dallas. Like, hey, you gotta think outside the box here. No, this was a laughable trade. You can't trade one of the 4 best players in the NBA and not tell any team about it. You can't. You could have gotten something better, or you at least could have gotten more from the Lakers. Maybe you eventually go back to L.A. and be like, all right, give me your, you know, every other first-round pick until we're all dead.
Give me Austin Reeves and more picks and, like, throw more into the deal.
You could have gotten way more for Luka Doncic. So that's why, I kind of think something's up. Now, I'm sure players, you know, some of these are free agents, some of these are trades, but if you just look at all the guys in the history of the NBA, you know, people were tweeting about this, too. They're like, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, Dwight Howard, LeBron James. Like, everybody bails on their team and goes to the Lakers. I don't know. I think it'd be crazy to ignore it.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, the Dallas general manager got paid off for this, but, like, I wouldn't rule it out.
Well, where did Nico Harrison come from? Nike? So, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Fall. Yeah.
What's good for LeBron?
Good breadcrumb.
What's good for LeBron is good for Nike. I think he came from Nike, if I'm not mistaken.
The only thing that would be the fly in the ointment is, you remember when they had the deal done for Chris Paul and then it got vetoed?
Yep.
I was like, that was surprising because that was something that was the time that the Lakers didn't get what they wanted. But that was my other thought, is like, is Adam Silver going to sign off on this? I mean, he already has, clearly, but if a deal like this happened in your fantasy dynasty league, I think everybody would veto it. Somebody tweeted out, they're like, NBA 2K, the game won't even allow this trade to go through. Like, it's ridiculous.
All right, play this out on Nico Harrison, who, by the way, one of the prominent passages in his Wikipedia page at Nike is that he botched a presentation to Steph Curry that made him go to Under Armour instead of Nike.
Sounds about right.
Good basketball decision
maker.
Hire
this guy. So the guy that couldn't sign Steph Curry also traded Luka Doncic.
During his work at Nike, he botched the 2013 presentation to Steph Curry, which, according to Harrison, he may have called him Seth instead of Steph.
That's pretty significant.
And the presentation used was made for Kevin Durant.
Oh.
This, along with not offering Curry a signature shoe, caused the superstar to switch from Nike and sign with Under Armour.
But did he get Seth Curry? He's like, guys, good news, bad news. Steph walked out the door, he's going to Under Armour, but
he called him Seth,
his brother.
And then, like, they put the PowerPoint up, and it was like pictures of Kevin Durant.
He's like, just pretend that's you for a second.
He's like, you would be like Kevin Durant.
Am I wearing the Durant shoes?
So anyway, so play the conspiracy theory out. Nike runs basketball. We ran into this with Jaylen Brown.
Dude, there's something.
Maybe the Celtics would have offered Jaylen Brown to Dallas, and they're like, no. We at Nike hate Jaylen Brown. But Nike runs basketball. The sneaker companies run grassroots basketball all the way up to the NBA. And so maybe there's a larger conspiracy there. I have no idea. I don't rule out that the NBA loves that Luka is in L.A. and thinks it could be a ratings bonanza. And if the NBA is a fan of it, doesn't mean they orchestrate it, but there's a lot of smoke there. I don't deny any of that.
The minute LeBron leaves the Lakers, well, the way it was setting up, like, let's say pre this trade, as soon as LeBron leaves the Lakers, it's going to be another, like, potential decade run.
What?
Are you like Bronny?
Bronny. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Bronny will be out of the league.
Yeah, Bronny will.
Bronny and his dad. Whenever LeBron's done, and who knows, the way LeBron's going, that might be 5 years from now anyway. But whenever he's done, they're not exactly set up to succeed because they had to give up all their draft picks for Davis and LeBron and all the way that they all figured that out. So at least now, like, there's not going to be a real lull in Laker basketball.
You guys can jump in on this all day long. Who got the better of the deal? Why was the trade made? Is this the league rigging things for the Lakers? I heard Curtis talking about this all morning long. To bring back a potential Celtics-Lakers finals where you have LeBron and Luka on one side, you have Tatum and Brown on the other. You can jump in on that again all day long. 617-779-7937. We're not hung up on this trade for the entire day. We'll get to the Super Bowl coming up. Our Prop-a-Palooza begins today. We'll give you 5 props for the Super Bowl each and every day this week. We'll do that at 10:45. We'll give you our power rankings for this Super Bowl, what we're looking forward to beyond just the game, your halftime show, your commercials, your Super Bowl snacks, et cetera, et cetera. Plus some news on the Patriots and their coaching staff. Some news on Drake May at the Pro Bowl. We'll get to that with your phone calls here on Jones and Keith.
You mentioned you think this will work in the short term and the long term. Short term makes great sense. How do you see this working out well for the organization in the long term?
Well, I think the long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now. The future, 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in, or we bury ourselves.
Yes.
It's Nico Harrison alongside Jason Kidd, the GM and head coach of the Mavs.
Did you see Jason Kidd in that video?
He was not thrilled.
Oh, my God.
He's like
everything. Hostage video gets tossed around a lot, that phrase. But Jason Kidd sitting there with his backwards hat on and his glasses, just stare. It was the Ben Affleck, "Hello, darkness, my old friend." Because he's going on. Nico Harrison is talking about how got this deal done, you know, over the weeks. And he's like, Jay Kidd didn't know about it. He didn't know. And he's just sitting there like,
No, I did not.
No,
they're going to bury.
Because I probably would have stopped you.
They're going to bury us. We'll bury ourselves. He's like, yep, you got it.
So bad.
That can't garner much hype or much belief in the Mavs, listening to Nico Harrison kind of fumble his way through that press conference and laugh about burying himself. It can't make you feel very good as a Mavs fan. I know Mavs fans don't feel good about it. I think
you can't.
I do think people are way too down on Anthony Davis. I still think LeBron has a ton left in the tank. If LeBron and Luka, because they're supremely talented, make it work and the Lakers go on a run, it wouldn't shock me. But I, again, think from a basketball standpoint, they have some things to figure out. A big who plays defense with a ball handler like Kyrie, that should work. Do they have enough talent to get back to an NBA Finals? Probably not. But I see how that can work short term. But you're putting a lot of eggs in the short term basket to break through in what I still think is the Celtics league to try to win right now, while Luka in 3, 4, 5 years, if he gets rededicated to the game or fits with LeBron or the next superstar the Lakers land, because you know they're going to land another one.
Yeah.
Whoever that is, and Luka's winning championship after championship after championship, it might go down as a trade as bad as Mookie Betts.
So maybe I overrate Luka Doncic. I don't know, but not going all the way back to the likes of like Wilt Chamberlain and Kareem.
I'm sorry to jump in. What's your biggest concern with him? Like, you have to have some concern with Luka. Is it basketball shape? Is it the lack of defense?
No, I recognize that he's pretty one-sided. Like, you know, he's a dominant offensive player. He's not great defensively. I don't think, just because of his size, and I'm not talking about his fat, I'm just talking about like his height.
At his height, yeah.
He's not as much of a liability as like an Isaiah Thomas or like Iverson or something like that.
Or even Kyrie.
Or even Kyrie. Like, he's bigger than that. And I think on a good defensive team, maybe you can hide him a little bit better than others. So yeah, like he's not a perfect player by any means. I still think it's insane that he got traded. So not counting, you know, guys that I don't remember, like Oscar Robertson and like Kareem, like when those guys got traded. So like real more modern. Look at the last 30 years of big time trades. I think he had the most trade value because of his age. Like Kevin Durant, Carmelo Anthony, even Charles Barkley when he got traded from the Sixers. That was like a big haul. When Shaq got traded to the Heat. Like, it wasn't the age that Luka's at.
So who should they have been asking for?
Who should they have been asking for?
Yeah, like if you're going to trade Luka, who should they have been asking for instead of Davis?
Giannis? Like, I mean, if you want an old guy, or if you're okay with an old guy, go after, like, Giannis.
Should they have asked for, and can the Celtics even do this based on where they're at?
They should have asked for Tatum.
Well,
they should have asked for Tatum, not that you get him.
Would you rather have Jaylen than Anthony Davis?
I would rather have
it's close, right?
That one is close. I guess I would probably take Jaylen. And if I'm taking Anthony Davis, I'm at least getting like 1,000 first-round picks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, they should have gotten more.
Like, if that guy's point was, oh, Kyrie and Davis line up well. I love it. He's like, well, these guys, this is for the window. It's like, you were just in the NBA Finals because of the other guy.
Right.
The guy you traded was the reason you got there.
And your window's much bigger with Luka.
Correct.
Much bigger.
And, like, just because you had a hard time pairing up guys to play with Luka, that's not Luka's fault, is it? That like Porzingis got broke and like Kyrie, whatever. So yeah, no, they should have, like, we always say like, oh, player X is untradeable. It's like, well, unless like Connor McDavid's available, or unless like, you know, Shohei Ohtani's available. That's the thing with Luka. You can't call anybody up and have them laugh at you with a trade proposal if you're offering Luka. You could offer Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and be like, listen, it's not working here with Luka with us. Can we take Shai?
We want Wemby.
Yes.
Like, I mean, the Spurs.
Yeah, they'll say no.
The Spurs shouldn't laugh at you over a trade like that. They might say no.
So is Wemby available? They're like, before you hang up, it's for Luka.
Right. Like, we're not offering you Derek Lively. We're offering you Luka.
Like, I think you could ask for anybody. So to land on really just Davis, because there's another player in there and there's one first-round pick 4 years from now. Like, you got just Anthony Davis. That is a wild player swap.
Do you think this says anything about the Celtics? Because I think this trade does say a few things about Boston and their standing within the league. I think, number one, the Mavericks look at it and go, we were there last year. We cannot beat them. We need to do something. Now, it doesn't mean they're right in the return, but I think they looked at it and said, with Luka and Kyrie, we're not beating that team. So I think it says something about the Celtics on that level. I also think, and this is not normally my side of the street to play, but you should feel real good about Tatum and Jaylen and their dedication to the game compared to Luka. Like, those are two guys who largely play every night. Those are two guys who are ridiculously in shape. You don't have to question their
motor too in shape.
And their dedication. You know, there might be an off night here where they spend an extra night in LA. We're all questioning it. But largely, they're dedicated to the game. They're in shape. They're not Embiid or Luka, or even Wiggy said this. I mean, Jokic, I think, gets a little more benefit of the doubt because he's won and he's such a high-level player. But, like, even Jokic, you know, these guys are in shape, dedicated. You don't have to question it. They play every night. there should be an appreciation for those two when you see a guy like Luka moving, and
I need
to
go home.
You know what it is. He's not a two-way player, and he's not in shape. Those guys are two-way players, and they're in shape, and that's why they're here, and Luka's on the move.
Yeah, it's still, though, I wouldn't go to the degree of, like, we need to move on from him because he's, like, overweight and he's not great on defense. But that's fine. Even if you do that, even with some of the flaws in his game. And you remember Brian Windhorst was, like, ripping him during the finals last
Nick
year.
Nick brought this up before the show. I totally forgot about that, but right.
But he's also a Kyrie guy and, all this stuff. But now also being a LeBron guy, like, it's an interesting thing. I don't know
Maybe over the summer somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has.
Anybody else in his life? Nobody could talk to this guy. It's like, dude, you work for LeBron. And I like Windhorst. I actually don't even mind, but it's like, give me a break.
I've grown to have a lot of respect for Windhorst the further he's gone along in his reporting career because he started out as like a barnacle on LeBron's ass.
Yeah, it was like a joke. But so, now I kind of.
So I have more respect for him. But yeah, I mean.
Nobody can talk to Luka. It's like, who's talking to Kyrie and LeBron?
Fair.
The guys are breaking through to those guys?
Fine. But I believe he's hearing those things about Luka. You can say he's hearing about other players and not reporting on it, but Luka deserved to be shredded for his dedication, I think.
But how do you not...
Or lack thereof.
How do you not call every single team in the league and say, guys, we've decided we're trading Luka before the deadline. I'll listen to 29 other offers. I bet you get 29 offers.
Yeah.
You know, some of them might be like, well, we're going to keep Tatum and Brown and try to figure out what... But whatever. I bet you get 29 offers, and I bet 25 of them are better than what you got.
Does it say anything about the...
For the Celtics, yes. I think it does. I think every year in the NBA when superstars get traded, and it's almost every year, which is kind of fun, I think it usually speaks to how good the top team is or the defending champ is or whatever. Like, teams had to go crazy when the Warriors were what the Warriors were, or even, you know...
The Miami Heat with LeBron and Wade.
No, but even those guys was a response to the Celtics.
Yep.
LeBron said it himself. He's like, we all went up against the 08 Celtics, and we're like, we can't beat those guys by ourselves. So every kind of super team or at least champion, I feel like, has then pushed these other teams to make these trades. And so we've gone a little bit away from like the three-person super team and more with like these like dynamic duos across the league. But even still, it's like, hey, do we like our team? Like, yeah, we like our team. But it's like, are we going to be able to beat the Celtics? Like, no. So let's shake it up.
And so maybe the Lakers feel that they can. You know, maybe LeBron and Luka, they feel like they can. But I do think it says some strong things about the Celtics and how teams view them. That Dallas was in the finals and they're not looking to add to get a piece to keep up. They're like, we got to break this thing up. And maybe it's stupid and their GM doesn't know what he's doing and I'd allow for all of that. Maybe the league's rigged. And it's just another superstar to L.A. in a long, long line of them. But one thing that does deliver, Keith, you're right about this. The NBA trade deadline, like the significant names that move. This would never happen. I mean, it wouldn't happen in the NFL.
No, never in the NFL.
It might happen every decade in Major League Baseball or the NHL. I mean, Mookie Betts moved. It wasn't at the trade deadline.
Yeah, no, usually baseball, you get a little bit more activity offseason.
So, you know, maybe it might happen once every 10 years. In the NBA, I'm not saying Luka moves every year, but significant pieces move seemingly every year, and the deadline may not be done. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox moved. Jimmy Butler could still move. The Lakers might make another move for all we know.
And I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that a lot of these contracts, like, you know, Supermaxes kind of line up and, like, regular max deals line up or whatever, like, how it's structured. Also, the four-year deals for free agents versus the five-year deals for your team, you can't go any higher than that. Whereas, like, other leagues have kind of crazy contracts. So, like, do I want to trade for this guy who you just signed to a 12-year deal? Like, no. And, like, so maybe it just makes it easier in the NBA. But, yeah, superstars move all the time.
Off of that, Luka can't even get the Supermax anymore because he got traded.
Correct. Because he's now in L.A., he's not eligible for the same. So they boned him on that level.
Brutal. Now, I think he'll probably make it up.
Endorsements
overall,
and
like just being in L.A., if he wants to lean into that, I'm sure he'll be the face of everything they have possible. You know, share it with LeBron for a couple of years and then just turn it over to him. But yeah, like in other sports, the De'Aaron Fox or Zach LaVine equivalent would be like, look at this deal. Like, what a big deal this is. Like, nobody's even talking about that. It's like Luka Doncic just got traded for Anthony Davis.
It's a complete afterthought. And that, you said it earlier, Fox and Wemby?
I like that.
Like, that's
good stuff.
It's not a bad one, too.
No. Nope.
Moving forward. So you can jump in all day long. NBA trade deadline. What does it mean for the Celtics? Who won the deal? The Lakers or the Mavs? Do you understand why the Mavs did it? Or are you looking higher and questioning conspiracy theories about the league? their ratings and bringing another superstar to the Lakers. Again, 617-779-7937. We'll get to your thoughts. We'll get back into Super Bowl 59 as well. We'll power rank what we're looking forward to in the Chiefs and Eagles matchup. Plus, we'll start the first day out of five, Prop-a-Palooza. Five props. We'll give them to you each and every day. We'll pull them all together, see who does the best at the end of the week, or early next week, rather. We'll start Prop-a-Palooza next. We'll get to Prop-a-Palooza in a moment. Woo! We're making PS5s. I don't know if we're making a milli, but we're making PS5s.
We'll do the best we can.
Yep. The Patriots have made another hire to their coaching staff, according to Greg Bedard,
wow,
the Boston Sports Journal. Nice. It was rumored over the weekend that Wes Welker could be in the mix as Patriots wide receivers coach, maybe Chad O'Shea, who was here in the past working under Josh McDaniels. That is not the case. They are bringing in yet another Mike Vrabel disciple, Todd Downing.
How about that? He was an offensive coordinator with the Titans for a couple seasons with Vrabel.
So he will be the Patriots wide receivers coach. They did have a very good wide receiver in Tennessee in A.J. Brown, although we've illustrated some of the other skill level at that position, not great. Mm. You may recognize Todd Downing's name from getting a DUI in Tennessee shortly after a victory over the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
What year was this? This was in 2022.
Oh, boy.
According to Nashville television station WSMV, a Tennessee Highway Patrol officer pulled over Downing for speeding in Williamson County. The officer noted signs of impairment of the 42-year-old. At the time, Downing was placed under arrest and booked in Williamson County Jail at approximately 4:30 a.m.
All right.
After the victory, he was released on bail a short time later. So that's probably the most prominent thing.
Either the Jets this year.
Yeah, it's probably the most prominent thing I can remember with him during his NFL career. He wasn't a very good offensive coordinator in Tennessee.
No, because they had, I think Vrabel had four different offensive coordinators. Correct. We were going through this list before, and so LaFleur was a one and done, and then he had Arthur Smith, where they had their most success between A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry, and then after that, including Todd Downing, not as good. But he's the wide receivers coach. So it just speaks to the...
So I agree with this.
It speaks to the amount of experience they have on the staff. You know, they have former NFL head coaches as offensive line coaches. They have former offensive coordinators as wide receiver coaches.
If I'm not mistaken, they have five former head coaches on staff.
That include McAdoo?
It might, actually.
Yeah. All right, but still.
We'll see what McAdoo's role is coming up. We'll dig further into this coming up, but that's another hire on Vrabel's coaching staff. Another guy who has been a coordinator, who is now a positional coach. Largely, I'd say that's good. The only red flag would be that arrest there and his time as a play caller in Tennessee wasn't great. So add that to the list. We'll get to it with your phone call, 617-779-7937 here on Jones and Keefe. Keefe, every day at this time, all week leading up to the Super Bowl, we're going to give you five prop bets. We'll pool them all together, see who does the best early next week after the Super Bowl. You can bet along or bet against us if you'd like. We're calling it Prop-a-Palooza.
Very excited about this. So it'll be 25 total bets, and we'll compete against each other. You, me, Lanny, and Nick. So five a day. Want to start right now?
Yes.
All right. First, touchdown jersey number over under 15.5. So whoever scores the touchdown on either team can be a defensive guy, special team score, whatever. Whoever scores the touchdown, will his jersey number be over or under 15.5?
So, you know, the prominent over numbers would be Barkley, Kelsey, maybe Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
A defensive touchdown if you want to wager on that. I'm going under. There's A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Xavier Worthy, Jalen Isaiah Hurts. Pacheco, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, where you cut it off, Keith. So I'm going to go under 15.5 for first touchdown. I just think you're playing the odds. There's way more prominent players who could hit it there.
I'm going to go over, and it's because the three guys that you named, I think, are all have a great chance to score that first touchdown. Saquon Barkley, just him to score a touchdown is such minus money. Travis Kelce's been really good in Super Bowls. And then even Kareem Hunt, don't sleep on Kareem Hunt scoring the first touchdown if it's from the Kansas City Chiefs. So it's less guys, but I feel like those three all have a pretty good chance. So I'm going to take the over. Billy?
Agree with you and everything. I'm taking the over.
Okay. Nick?
I'm with Jones. Like, Jalen Hurts had, what, 12 touchdowns this year? All the prominent players are now are below the number 10, basically. So give me the under.
Keith is right. Looking at first touchdown odds, three of the four outside of Hurts are over that number. Then
it's
you get
a quality over quantity.
Xavier Worthy plus 1,100. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Isaiah Pacheco, et cetera, et cetera. So me and Nick on one side, Billy and Keefe on the other. What's our next pick here?
Travis Kelce receiving yards over under 59.5.
I think that's an easy over. He just had a bad game.
He smoked the over in the divisional round, but he would have been way under in the conference championship.
He had two catches or something like that against Buffalo. Philly has a really good defense, but they have been exploited by tight ends. Last week, Ertz caught everything underneath. I know he was more of an afterthought in that offense. The week prior, Higbee was pretty good in the game. So I think tight ends can make plays against them. Kelsey comes up big in big games. I expect the Chiefs to win. I think it'll be over 59.5.
I'm going to go over as well. Last Super Bowl, he had 93 yards. The one before that against Philly, he had 81. And prior to that, in the loss to Tampa, he had a buck 33.
Nice.
So the only time in a Super Bowl he went under that number was their first one against San Francisco. But this time around, I will take the over.
Over.
All right.
I was thinking the under, and then the more I thought about it, Zach Ertz had 100 and whatever yards last week, so I'm going over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, he got to eat. All right, so we're all going Kelsey on the over. Saquon Barkley rushing yards. The number is 109.5.
That's low compared to where he's been the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I'm going under that number. I think
you son of a gun.
I think Spagnuolo, he's got 2 weeks to get ready for this. And I heard Shime say this earlier today. He's largely right. Nobody's been able to stop Saquon. It's not exactly true. Pittsburgh did it in a game. Cleveland did it in a game. Dallas did it in a game. Spagnuolo's arguably the best defensive coordinator of all time. He cooked up a way to stop Josh Allen last week. I'm not saying Saquon does nothing, but I'll take under the 110.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm going under as well. This is good or bad, but a lot of times I'll make these bets based on how I think the game is going to go rather than like really looking at it on the one-off. So I'm leaning pretty heavily towards the Chiefs winning. So if the Chiefs are up, we've seen Philly kind of, all right, we got to throw it, you know, and maybe even have like Kenneth Gainwell back there, like on the third down back. Like we've seen them throw it a lot. And also, if you look at some of these games, if they can prevent the 55-yard run or the 60-yard run,
got to limit the big play.
I think they can keep them it's under true. 109. So I'm going to go under. Bill?
Dude's a monster. I'm going over.
He is a monster.
Here for the show.
Also going over, James Cook had 85 yards last week, and he had the 33-yard run like you guys were talking about limiting. Saquon, different animal than James Cook. Saquon
right.
over.
Okay. Right, very good. Number four for today, coin toss. Right off the rip, Jones. Heads or tails?
Okay. I'm going heads. I think it's due. Heads are due in this coin toss. I think it's 7 out of the last 11, something like that, have gone tails. I'm going heads on this one.
Tails never fails.
Well, fails sometimes.
I don't think that's right.
It's failed 4 out of the last 11 years.
Well, I will go with tails. Bill?
Tails never fails. That's right. Tails.
Bill's got it. He gets it.
Again, tails never fails.
All right, in your face, Jones.
Okay. Well, last one. It's a win for me.
New Orleans native, John Batiste?
Mm-hmm.
Is that how you say it?
I only see him. I don't know what his music is. I only see him at award shows.
Yep.
He's at like the Grammys every year.
Man,
yeah,
right?
I don't really know what he does. Yeah.
He's doing the national anthem this year.
Uh-huh.
The over-under for time is 120.5 seconds. So you need to go over 2 minutes for the anthem. These people like to make a meal of the anthem often.
Mm-hmm.
I usually feel pretty good about the over. I think the last 4 years it's gone over.
Oh.
Now, the numbers change depending on the artist, but I'm going over on the anthem.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Over on the anthem. This is this guy's Super Bowl, legitimately. Like, legit. Again, what else does he do?
This is huge.
He's going to get up there, get extra screen time, over 120.5.
Give me the under.
Wow, Bill.
Give me like a 150, 155.
Bold Billy is what they call
him. That is.
Yes.
In and out. We got a game to watch, people.
That's Luca. In and out is Luca.
I'm going over. I feel like somebody who plays a piano is going to take their sweet time, and you guys had to tell me he played a piano.
He does.
So there it is.
This
tickles
is all based ivories. Off of, but the over.
Okay. Some disagreement there. Only one clean sweep. Was it Kelsey?
Just Kelsey over.
All right. So we'll get those out on social media, or at least we'll track them all week long and get them out by the end of the week. Propapalooza, you can bet along, or you can bet against. We'll revisit early on next week. We'll do it each and every day at 10:45 here on Jones and Keefe. We'll stick with the Super Bowl coming up. What are we looking forward to most in this Super Bowl beyond just the game? We'll get to it with all your thoughts next.